Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Two Legs. It's a new month, so it means it's a new show. And it's also Let It Be time. So, welcome back. Hey. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Andy Nichols. And joining me for episode 246 is the co-founder of Two Legs, and that's Mr. Tom Hunyadi, rocking his one-hand clapping sweatshirt. Yes. Hello, Thomas.
Yes. Hello, my friend. Andy, it's good to see you. Good to be here. Good to be talking again with you. But yeah, I got the t-shirt as well. You got your t-shirt I saw. So really happy for you. It's really funny too, because you know we pre-ordered these bundles, right? And then a couple days later you see shipping. And I'm like, what the hell is this? What's going on?
Yeah.
So obviously they had the shirts and the crew neck
all ready to go.
So just which just goes to show you how far in advance they get these things ready.
Sure. And they fit good. Both the t-shirt fits good and the sweatshirt is a good fit too. I got the sweatshirt also. A nice fit.
Love the sweatshirt. Now that I'm back in Michigan, I'll be wearing these.
You can wear that now. I'm also happy to report I heard that our friends in the UK now could get the merchandise as well too.
Yes, because at first, as Tone said, they weren't available at first. So maybe they heard the bitching and hopefully that's what caused them to put the bundles on for the UK. So, which is a great, it should be available.
Yeah.
Should be available for everyone.
It should. Before we get to the topic at hand, and of course you all know what we'll be talking about this week on Two Legs, we want to just say thank you to Luca Perazzi. Luca sent us copies of his new book, Band on the Run, The Story of a Classic Album. So thank you, Luca. And he will be on our show later this month reviewing that book.
Right. So not only did he send us one, but we wanted to also help support him. So we also bought a copy
as well.
So expect expect a giveaway for when we have Luca back on. We'll do some kind of email contest, whatever you email us, and I'll give my copy away. Andy, I don't know if you want to. You also bought one too, right?
I did buy a copy, and I gave my copy away already to a friend.
You did already. Okay, well, so that's which is great, and then so I'll be giving a copy away later this month when we have Luca back on the show. So looking forward to that. I've really been enjoying. I'm a couple chapters in. It's just lead into to the set Band on the Run sessions. But it's good so far. Enjoying it, and can't wait to talk to Luca again. So thank you, Luca.
Good thank you, Luca. Really and 100 something pages. Was it how many pages? 100 and some odd pages.
Yeah, it's under 200.
Yeah. So for Luca books, it's actually on the quicker side of the Luca Perazzi books.
It is, but I mean, it goes into all the songs, obviously, just like his book, Music as Ideas.
And
so it's an in-depth look at those sessions.
And I have to I've only just started the introduction, but I'm scanning it. I see that he's paid really close attention to detail to the instruments on the album too, and that's going to be an interesting take. Obviously, we know the songwriting sessions, and the history in the book, but specific detail. Is nice for a change, and obviously no doubt in part. And he credits the McCartney legacy as well with his research. So, So thank you, Luca, for that. But today,
One last thing. Look, the Coes and Sinclair, Luca and John Blaney, for me right now,
those are our guys, because they're writing just about what we want to hear, solo material.
Yeah, Solo McCartney, baby.
We've waited decades for it, and now we go to sleep and we wake up and a book's coming out. So it's a good time to be a solo Beatles fan in all the camps, really. But McCartney, in terms of writing and history and the analysis and the in-depth approach and study of all this stuff that we've wanted for so long that we're now getting, thanks to our friends that are doing this work. So thank you to them.
Yes, absolutely. Appreciate it.
So 54 years to the day.
Yeah, let's be honest there. Okay, listen. Well, this has been available. Okay. Let's just not say that it's never been available since
it has been.
Okay.
It has been. Okay. You got your boots. Right.
Yeah,
you got your bootlegs.
You know,
okay.
But it has gotten official releases on VHS and Laserdisc.
Yes, but in very small quantities. Okay, I can remember as a kid going to the video store and seeing United Artists, Let It Be. You do too, yeah. I'm sure.
Same here. I was telling Joe a story, how you know when my dad took me to one of those mom and pop video stores that we all went to before you know Blockbuster ruined everything, and I rented the Let It Be and the Complete Beatles, and that was just like heaven for me
to watch those things. Now,
yes,
but yeah, it was in an era where if you wanted to buy a VHS tape, a bona fide copy, that was going to cost you $100.
$99 to buy VHS copies back then. Yep.
So we weren't doing that. We were renting and making, and if, you know, if you knew somebody, you had the technology, you made a copy. And so it was available, but mainstream, by the time the mom and pop video stores phased out and their one copy of Let It Be went to whoever.
Well, and your block got returned, you know, so I was telling them, but then when I rented those two. Okay. So I was hoping I could keep doing this. You know, every time dad picked me up, we'd go to the video store and I'd get those two. But unfortunately, the next time I went back, only the Complete Beatles was there. No one returned. Somebody didn't return.
You mean you didn't have the home studio set up with two VCRs to play one and record the other, man?
No. I wasn't that fortunate just yet. Anyways.
But yeah, we are here today to talk about the release of Let It Be. Finally, today we're recording this on the 9th of May. It dropped on May 8th on Disney Plus. After a long wait and restored by Peter Jackson. And I just finished watching it today. I think Tom's on his second watch.
Yeah. I watched it. Third watch right before we started recording.
And
I was up at 5:30 in the morning, started it. I watched it for the first time and then again later that night. And then again today.
So, I got to say, I know they're trying to tie in with the release date of Let It Be, but damn, dropping this in the middle of the work week was not fun. This was not fun. I was thinking back to the happy memories of Get Back and Thanksgiving and just having nothing else to worry about except waking up to your text at 3 o'clock saying, watch this. And it was exciting. We went live. Couldn't do that this time around. I mean, I literally just finished watching it 20 minutes ago for the first time. It's tough.
Well, yeah, because we did talk about possibly going live, you know, at some point in the wee early hours of the morning to discuss it along with, you know, David. But, hey, listen, didn't happen. But it's understandable. Look, I mean, 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, that's 3:30 in the morning.
I'm getting ready for bed.
3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Anyways, but look, I'm sure like a lot of people, they're waking up 7, 8, you know, then they play it then. But I just happened to wake up at like 5:30 in the morning. I went right to it and said, let's like put the headphones on and
through your phone or TV?
Oh, TV. Yeah, absolutely. TV.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you had Disney Plus again, or you had to resubscribe to it?
I had to resubscribe. Yeah. But that's fine because, you know, there's some Star Wars stuff coming.
Yeah.
There's the Jim Henson documentary that I want to see, you know, piss on the Beach Boys documentary. I really don't care about that. But
I do.
I know you do. So that's fine. But look, I mean, listen, there's a lot of great stuff on Disney Plus. I mean, the old catalog, you know, say what you want about the now, but there's you know, all that. You know, you got the Marvel movies, you got the Star Wars stuff, you got all the old, you know, all the old animated movies and stuff like that. So I said, you know, why not? I'll get it again. And plus, now it seems like it's the home of the Beatles.
Yeah, looks like it's going to be moving forward. So when was the last time you watched Let It Be, start to finish?
All right. Well, I thought you might ask me that. Listen, so David sent me this around 2016, this bootleg copy. And that was the last time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Probably within the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years myself to watch the whole thing. I've had it ripped digitally, VHS copies, DVD copies. I probably have it 3 or 4 different variations, but to watch it start to finish. Yeah. Probably. I probably watched it twice or three times in the last 10 years from start to finish to varying degrees of quality. And that's what we got with this was the quality.
This is absolute shit. So I watched this last night as well, just because
compare
like, 8 years to compare. I don't know how we did it. I mean, after watching, you know, Let It Be, I don't know how the hell we watched it, you know.
Because back in the day, you take whatever you can get.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, that being said, you know, I'm watching. I couldn't watch it all the way through. I couldn't.
Yeah, the copy I had, it was very choppy. The tracking would jump. How many generations of tape copies were this done? So a really, really poor, crappy quality version of Let It Be that you even like. So it just wasn't going to last. So now we got it. And I guess let's just jump into it proper. I love how it opens with a little 2-minute interview with Peter Jackson.
Well, you liked it. See, I found that pointless.
Oh, I like that a lot.
Did you see the date?
Yes, I did.
April 2023. So, I mean, again, they've known about this for a while. So,
yeah, I recorded over a year ago.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, listen, I mean, it obviously this thing was edited. It didn't look like it was like a cohesive chat.
A 2-minute bit. Yeah, was that definitely edited?
It was a 2-minute bit. I mean, it was okay. I didn't think it was necessary, but I had a kind of feeling they were going to do this anyways after what we got at the beginning of the Get Back docu-series. So, but I will say, you know, Mike Lindsay-Hogg, I mean, he does need to be recognized. So I'm kind of glad he's getting his moment in the sun again, if you will, with this release. So yeah, anything he has to say, I think, is important.
Listen, he's the director of Let It Be and several promotional films of the Beatles. So his input and opinion is very, very much valued, you know, and he looks damn good for his age, I must say.
True.
You know, because I don't know his age exactly, but he looks younger than the Beatles in when you're watching Get Back and Let It Be. There he is, probably all of 27 or maybe he's the same age. I don't know, but he looks good. And what they call it? Let It Be is the father of Get Back. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Well, so in a lot of ways it is. And Tom and I just before we started recording said that you can watch this film a whole different way now that we've absorbed Get Back. It's a totally different viewing experience now. And other people have said the same thing, commenting. Right. I know SRR. Said similar things, talking about the first time she went, watched Let It Be. You know, she saw it screened at Beetlefest in the screening rooms when they watched it in a really crappy, grainy quality. And people that watched it within 10 years of the breakup have a little bit different viewpoint on it. Now, 50-something years later, after Get Back, you can watch this movie in a totally different light.
See, and I think that's part of its legacy as well, because we look at it as this dreary, unhappy period. But I think part of that has to be with the quality that we've been watching this film. I mean, we've been watching it slowly deteriorate after bootleg generation after generation, you know, homemade copy after homemade copy. We're just seeing this footage deteriorate. And I think that's one of the responsibilities of the fact that we all think that it's just this unhappy, dreary period because of the video quality, I think, and the audio quality.
Christ, if they waited any longer, it would have been like the Zapruder film. But it is. You're right. It is. And the quality, it had this kind of, well, you know, it came out right around they broke up, and because it wasn't widely seen, it was like, well, it just came out and they broke up and the movie sucks and it's miserable. It just had that stigma. It had that stigma for umpteen years, and I think there's that, they all went to go see it in the movie theater, right, and they were crying when they watched it, right? There's that famous story about how the couple of the Beatles went to go watch it and they were crying when they watched it, you know, because they were so close to it. So I think those stories become legend. Especially when they're first hand accounts, that when Lennon and they're going and they're watching it and they're crying. So if that gets told down the line, then people are going to say, well, yeah, that film really is not that good. But now we can look at it totally different. And time heals the wounds. Time heals the wounds. People pass on. Things are discovered. Brilliant people like Peter Jackson come into the Beatles world and are able to take this era of Beatles history and turn it into something that we never thought we would ever see with Get Back. So we owe this. I mean, yes, Michael Lindsay Hogg is the guy that created this, but we owe Peter Jackson the thanks and the gratitude, because what he did with Get Back is why Let It Be now has a chance to have another second lease on life, as it were.
Right. And we were worried because it was announced that this would get released as well. But we were kind of worried that after Get Back came out, we didn't hear anything for 2 years. Right. So
no.
We were kind of like, oh, great. Now they're not going to release this. This is going to be the final say on it. And I'm finally glad. You know, we're kind of worried at first because you're like, oh, my God, are they really going to show this? You know, I'm not going to believe it until I'm actually watching it.
Yeah, so, right.
But there it was. There it was.
Spats and all. And the one takeaway that I can't believe is just now that we watched Get Back is how quick the editing of this film is just so choppy. Right. Like,
right.
It's just so choppy. And because we now know how those three and a half weeks in January of 69 went and how they spent umpteen days at Twickenham before saying, sod this, we're going to Savile Row. Well, now when you watch Let It Be, you know, the first 25, 30 minutes they're in Twickenham, and then boom, jump cut. We're right in Savile Row. Like, you know, and then boom, Billy Preston's on the scene, like just quick.
But if you're going into this blind, you don't know, you have no idea what's going on. If you're like a beginning Beatle fan, you haven't read anything like that, you haven't seen any trailers for this or anything like it, there's no context as to, you know, what the end goal is, like there was, you know, and Peter Jackson's Get Back, right? We don't know why they're at Twickenham. We don't even know they're at Twickenham until the end credits where it says, you know, filmed, you know, at Apple and Twickenham.
Well, I mean, you mean no at the time or no from reading the books?
Right, at the time, well, no. If you're going, like I said, if you're going into a blind.
Oh, if you're going into a blind, yeah.
Blind, you have no idea what's going on because there's no, you know, dialogue, there's no narration, there's no text, kind of like in the way that we got with Get Back. But obviously, knowing what we know now, we know what's going on.
Right. We know, okay, this is where they were here for this, and then they stay for a little bit. And I must say, just from how Michael Lindsay Hogg shot it, anytime the shots at Twickenham were up above high, shooting down
right.
at the band, those shots were just awesome. Especially yeah. now oh, in this restoration. Cool. Like, they were always interesting to look at. But anytime he had any of those cameras up on the dolly pointing down at the band overhead, those shots are phenomenal. I've always enjoyed them. Now, even with this restoration, I can even appreciate it even more.
Yeah, no, I mean, the I'm watching this and I'm just like, I'm like in awe, but I shouldn't be in awe because we just saw this footage a couple years back with the Get Back, you know, but you're in awe because you're finally seeing a clean version of this film. Like, I know there's some people out there that had the VHS copy and a Laserdisc copy. I want to see those, you know, those official releases and see how they compare to, you know, to what we got now. I mean, how is the quality of those?
I don't know. I was talking with a friend of mine today and he said, look, the Let It Be footage that was even shot in anthology, he watched most of Let It Be and he said he liked it, but he didn't think the footage was that much of an improvement over the quality of the footage that you saw in the anthology. Even 30 years ago.
Yeah.
But that was the point, too. They weren't going to clean this up like they did with Get Back to make it look like they did with Get Back. They were going to give this like a kind of, you know.
Don't forget that this film had already been restored. I mean, it's already had a its restoration in the early 2000s when it should have been released with the
Right, so like this could have been cleaned up for decades. It could have just been cleaned up sitting for decades.
If anything, I mean, it's the audio that's more improved than anything else.
I think you're onto something there, partner. The audio it sounds way better than it ever has on any of this stuff.
Yeah,
right. All of it. I mean, even down to like when the rooftop starts, okay, and they're cut, the cameras are down in the street, and those are the cameras that are on the street, obviously with the camera audio in the street. So you obviously have the people talking, you're hearing the cars, but you're hearing the band in an echo above.
Right.
That is so cool because there's people talking and listening and looking up, but within an earshot, you're hearing the Beatles echo from the rooftop. And we always heard that, but on this version, it's so clear. It's so crystal clear. That was just an hour ago when I was watching that. That was like, damn, that sounds really good.
It's a quick 80 minute. Look, it's 80 minutes long.
Yeah.
It does drag at some places in the film. There's a few areas that where I'm not really the biggest fan, especially when they're doing the old numbers.
The jams. The jams. The Susie Parker and Come Save the Last Dance for Me and all that stuff.
Yeah. I kind of don't mind Susie Parker, which for a long time, I think a lot of people thought it was Susie Parler because I think John's saying Susie Parler, but then Paul.
Yeah.
Susie Parker. But
You Really Got a Hold on Me, stuff like that. Those
Really Got a Hold on Me. Yeah.
Claudie Miss Claudia. I find that from Dig It on, the film cooks. Because they go into Dig It and then Dig It ends and then it goes right and then a camera cuts. There's Paul holding the guitar, boom, right into the performance of Two of Us. The performance of Two of Us. Now, you heard the rocking version of Two of Us earlier in the film where the two of them were kind of doing that fast-paced version of Two of Us, singing and joking with it.
And that's one of my favorite parts, too.
Yeah.
When tweaking them, you know, you got the two of them at the mic, you know, singing it together. And then, you know, you got Paul singing and then John was just like doing his thing with the guitar, you know, everything. But I got to tell you, it's little things that I've noticed.
Go.
The first thing I really noticed was... Well, that little piano bit, okay, at the beginning, the intro.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, a lot of people might not know this, but the Chicago song, does anybody know what time it is? Okay. Now, there's the single, and then there's the album version. If you listen to the album version, there's a little piano intro to it that's not on the single or any of the greatest hits. Okay, but then I kind of felt like this could have been like a little intro to The Long and Winding Road. I don't know if anybody else felt like that. Let me know. But it's kind of moody. I really like this piece that he's doing. Obviously, I think he still needed to work on it a little bit.
They credit it in the credits of this film, Paul's piano piece.
Right.
Yes. But it's often been bootlegged as Adagio for strings. If you look at the bootlegs, it's called Adagio for strings. And I don't know if that's accurate or not, but on all my boots, it says that. But that's how the film opens. Paul sitting there playing the thing. Mal brings the drum head over. Boom, drop.
Right. See Kevin Harrington. The one thing I noticed, like visually, the first thing they're doing Don't Let Me Down. And you see just Yoko looking at John.
Yeah.
And just the way, I mean, find somebody that looks at you the way Yoko looked at John because it's pretty intense. It's cool. The version of this book, I don't know about your bootleg version, but the sync for the hammer and the anvil is totally off.
Totally off. On this, it's on.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
There's Mal hitting the freaking anvil during Maxwell's.
Yeah. The when George gets shot, you know, you don't hear what he says.
Yeah.
You know, in the bootleg version, in this one, you clearly hear it. I've got a feeling when they start working on it, I've got a feeling. I think that's. I mean, and then you see Yoko; she's getting into it.
Yeah, she's into it a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you see her quite a bit in here, and there's a few times where it's really just interesting to get her facial expressions, if there is any.
I must say too, and Michael Lindsay Hawk said this, and I've always known it, but hearing somebody else say it was pretty fresh. We always think let it be, Get Back, but they were working on so much of Abbey Road during these sessions too, and he brought that up in the interview.
In this film you see the beginnings of three songs. You see the beginning of Oh Darling, Octopus's Garden, and
Maxwell
Silverhammer. Yeah. So, in a way, that's kind of cool as well. And they
Right.
say that they talk about that in that little introduction.
They do, and we've always known it, but hearing it said, it's like it's not just these new songs. It's not just that they're working on what became later on, Let It Be.
That's one of the fascinating things about this month. This, for me, is one of the most pinnacle months of the Beatles' history. I'm so fascinated by January of 1969, because not only are you getting, all these songs, you're getting half of Abbey Road, but you're getting all the beginnings of so many different solo songs that, or songs
Oh,
that become solo
Give
songs.
Me Some Truth, Another Day, Backseat of My Car, All
Exactly.
Things Must Pass,
Yeah.
all those.
Yeah, exactly. And more,
And more.
so it's
I agree, but I almost wish that January 1969 was a month that was not in Beatles history. I'm going to tell you why. I've always felt this way. I've always felt this way. I felt that they rushed in too quickly after the White Album.
Yeah,
You just
sure.
released a double album of 30 songs
Right.
at the end of November of 1968. Take a few
Right.
months off. You run back in at the start of the new year, basically the day after New Year's, and you're trying to put an album together. I have felt forever and ever that if they had just taken 3 or 4 months off after the White Album, the Beatles would not have broken up, and the thing they would have gone on to the, they would have stayed together. I have maybe not for long,
Possibly,
but
possibly, possibly, but
just too it's too soon. Like they just exhausted all their stuff, and now they're Paul wants to bring him in, and they want to do a live show, and like they just needed to just chill and do their
they
own thing for a
agreed
little
to
while.
do it. They announced it. They announced in 68 that they were going to do three live shows.
Yes.
Okay, so they were already committed to it
They
prior
were.
to they were already committed to doing it. So I mean, obviously I hear what you're saying, but I don't know if I
They can.
necessarily agree. But here's the thing. I mean, look at it, Paul's thing. I mean, I think Paul sees that these people, I mean, Ringo's getting ready to do a movie. I mean, John's got that Yoko. I mean, George has, his Indian
Well, he was
Indian
really what
producer.
he was getting ready to go do Delaney and Bonnie.
Right. So I think he sees this as, hey, I want to keep this, I got to keep the band together. I got to keep them motivated. We got to keep going.
Yeah.
They're, as he says, they're a big act.
Right. What was nice
But
to
I
see
do agree, but
what?
let's say I do agree that it was too soon. Absolutely.
You do. Yeah, I think it
Yeah.
was. It was nice to see the restored section where John and Paul are having that deep conversation about
That's
playing.
right before the rooftop, right?
Yeah, they're having that about playing live and why they're scared about playing live and how should they play, and how in the Hamburg days we were a little bit nervous and then we got better and better and
Right.
better. And now we have to build back up to that again. And just that shot, you see back of Paul's head and John is just staring at him like dead on, taking it all in. He doesn't ever reply, but it's just Paul talking
No.
to him. Seeing that cleaned up was really impressive.
Or at least we don't hear, or
We
we
don't
don't
hear it.
see here if he replies. But I hear that, and then I just I th for me, when I see that scene, I see words going in one ear and then right out the other for John. I just don't necessarily think he's 100%, committed. Obviously, we know what happens, right? They go down the roof, they do one more album. We know that, but just that scene at that moment, it just looks like
He's
it's
just,
one ear and not
yeah,
the other.
okay, out.
Yeah.
But as we know from Get Back, the two of them had a really, frank discussion that was recorded,
Right.
in the cafeteria where they were talking about George and
Right.
stuff. So it wasn't, I mean,
Right.
that one moment in time, it's just interesting to see that scene with John just sitting there listening to Paul, not saying
Yeah.
anything and just trying to say, this is what we should do.
Yeah. A couple other moments and that while still at Twickenham, you got one of my favorite quotes from Paul. It's just like they're talking about the songs and the simplifying and complicated. I just love when he goes, and then complicate it where it needs complications. I
Yeah.
just, I just, love bits like that. I love the close-up of John's mouth while he's singing Across the Universe. I just think that's really cool as well. And then they start doing another version of Two of Us, and then it I guess Paul says something about John's mic, and he goes, "You don't have to bitch about it."
Yeah.
You know, but do you think Paul comes off too pushy here?
No. No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
I don't. I could see why. I don't think he comes off too pushy. I do. He comes off as the guy, as the driving force. He's
Right.
the driving force, but I don't think he comes off as too pushy or bossy. It was the dynamic of where they were at the time, you know.
Right.
The other, you know, and Ringo has said that. He's like, if it wasn't for Paul, we only would have made three albums.
Yeah, true.
So no, I think he comes off he comes off well.
Right. I like the I Me Mine segment. I like when you see George coming up and playing the song for the first
Yeah.
time. I love what he says. I don't care if you don't want it in your show or
Yeah.
on your show. I just love it.
And
You
the
don't
John and
care.
Yoko
Yeah.
waltz, the
Right,
waltz.
the walls. Well, that's the thing. You see him playing it for the first time, and then you go to the scene where it's John. I'm sorry, it's George, Paul, and Ringo playing it while, you
John and
know,
Yoko are waltzing
you're
to it. Yeah.
waltzing. Yeah. So, and then now fade, and then we go to now we're all of a sudden we're at Apple, which, you know, if you wouldn't know if
Right. I
you're.
mean, you jump cuts, and first person you see is Billy Preston. Right? It's like, okay, we're in the basement at Savile Row. Right.
Yeah.
So the continuity part of it, you look at it and go, well, but that, again, for the time, it wasn't. He wasn't writing. He wasn't planning a film to show. Well, we're going to show the Beatles here. And then we're going to show. He was
Right.
trying to get the best of the best and throw it together.
Well, I mean, okay, well, you bring that up. Did he get the best of the best? I don't necessarily know if I agree if he got the best of the
Yeah, I
best.
don't know.
Or I don't know if he showed the best of the best, because obviously we got all that stuff that we saw on the Get Back,
Yeah,
and then
but we didn't get Let It Be or Long and Winding Road performances and Get Back. Didn't have it.
right. No, and again, and we're gonna get to that in a minute. But I question some of the choices that he that some of the like we talked about the you know all the old rock numbers that he ended up the jams. You know, I guess you're just showing them having fun, you know, going back to the past.
That's my least favorite part of the film.
Yeah. I mean, let us know in the comment section, guys, what you think about, you know, that segment. I mean, obviously, but here's the thing though, right? I mean, this is why you think Rock and Roll is John's best album, right? Because that's who John is. I mean, so shouldn't it be said that for the same for John, George, John Paul, and Ringo? I mean, those are the songs that they grew up with. Those are
True.
they're just as much them as it is John. I don't know. I'm just, you know, having a discussion about this, but it's my least favorite part too. I mean,
Yeah.
I could do without it. I mean, yeah, I do like seeing them sing the Smokey Robinson song.
You really got a hold on me?
You really got a hold on me. Yeah. I mean, but they're not taking it seriously. They're kind of goofing around at the same time, you
Right,
know.
and which a lot of that stuff
So.
was, and there's so many miles and miles of outtakes for, to go through on this. I
Right,
mean,
right.
of all those damn songs.
Yeah, the other bit, when they're at Savile Row, then is Paul's talking about the Ma Maharishi films.
Oh, and how they went there. Yeah, that's a great bit.
Yeah, I love that
I
bit.
watched
And you
last
know,
night of you walking with
oh geez,
Maharishi, and you were up there, and you know.
it
Look at
wasn't
you,
you.
and would you slip? I thought you'd slip me the answer,
Answer. Yeah,
which is the genesis for Everybody's Got Something to Hide Except Me and My Monkey.
right. Now I will say I do love Paul's rendition of "Besame Mucho"
Oh,
here. Yeah,
Besame mucho.
I love
Yeah,
the way he sings it here. You know,
yeah.
Ringo.
Which
Yeah,
of course they did
but
in their cavern days. And
yeah.
they reprised it here at the end. And I think the first time I ever saw real good quality footage of that was again was in the anthology. You saw that in the anthology, restored somewhat well for the first time
Somewhat,
since Let
right.
It Be. That's what I'm
Yeah.
saying. The anthology was the first time you saw a lot of this stuff commercially available in high quality
Right. And
outside of the, yeah.
I think that the anthology is where I kind of got confused, because then the anthology, they show that one scene of Paul talking about the sets, right? And they're talking about, you know, the camera going down right down into Ringo's
Yeah,
face. So
right.
I don't know. So, you know, so for so whatever reason, then that put it in my brain, okay, well, that's a part of the movie. So I'm watching the movie, like, oh, when is that scene going to come on? Because
No.
I think they were at Twickenham.
Twick, they weren't still in Twickenham then, yeah.
So I, completely forgot about that. I completely forgot how much Heather is in this as well.
Well, yeah, but she doesn't pop up until Savile Row, and she comes in and has all those playful moments with Ringo and stuff. And then John, too.
But she's in it quite a bit though. I mean, the camera's on her quite a
Oh,
bit.
yeah.
But dig it. You'd mentioned dig it. A lot of fun.
Dig it. I dig it for musically, for me, dig it is where it starts. You know, they go through the warm-up stuff and they go into dig it, and then the bona fide performances really start after dig it.
Then you get the Paul McCartney highlight reel
Yes,
right
you
there.
do. And maybe that's why some people think Paul's in it too much. When John and George are sitting there, you know, expressionless, motionless, just playing along with him on these ballads. You know, John's not really making any facial expressions. George just sitting there with his head down playing. Those looks give the feeling of like this is not a really good film because they're not into it. But it's just they're ballads. They're ballads, and it's the Paul McCartney highlight reel. I like that.
And listen, I don't apologize for loving this version of The Long and Winding Road better than the finalized version. I absolutely adore it. I think the strings, take away from
Scratch.
Paul's piano and voice. I know you love it. I know there's other people that love the orchestration, and I think that's great. Listen, would The Long and Winding Road be as successful as it was without it? I don't know. Who's to say? But I mean, I just think this raw version, which is what attended what's this whole period was intended to be, right? This whole raw version
Right, get
of
back to the roots and as nature intended and all that
exactly.
jazz. Yeah.
But I just this I just adore, just
It's it
adore
is a beautiful
this.
rendition because it's just the band, it's just Paul, it's the band playing a song, and Paul is just he knocks it out of the park. I think The Long and Winding Road would have done damn well with in that version. Would it have been a number one? Hard to say. I probably, I don't know. I can't fault you for that opinion. I mean, it's a great, it's fan. You watch that in this restored version of Let It Be. You're loving it if you're a Paul fan. It's fantastic.
True. But it's again, it's really cool to have this. Now, again, if you don't know, you don't know that this was filmed the day after the scenes that are gonna come next. Right, the rooftop
The
stuff.
rooftop, yeah.
But I really be cool if somebody took Let It Be and meshed it with the Get Back docuseries, because then we'll have like over nine, close to 10 hours worth
Oh, what
of
do you mean?
footage.
And put it in chronological order?
Put it all in chronological order. So you take away the experience.
Somebody is going to do
Someone's gonna
that.
do it.
In fact, somebody's probably doing it right now.
I hope so. You take away those credits of the docuseries, right? And then you replace it with those three songs.
Yes,
So,
yes, yes. Good
and then
point.
Fade to
And you put
black.
those three on there at the end. There's your 9 hours. Drop the
There's your
mic.
nine. Like,
Good point, partner.
love
Good
it, love
point.
it. It's rooftop. All right.
Yeah. Cut right to the rooftop. They're walking up the stairwell. There they go.
Right. Paul comes out, Ringo comes out with Maureen. Again, I was blown away by this. I mean, this is seeing them up there, seeing them perform, it's magic. It's why I love this band, is why I think it's the best band, especially during the I've Got a Feeling.
Oh.
It's just I love it.
All of
I
them.
love
I got a feeling. One After 909, Dig a Pony, Don't Let
Yeah.
Me Down.
Yeah, get back, don't
Get
let me
back.
down.
Big old Get Back opens and closes the set, as we know. I really love a couple of things I noticed during the rooftop performance, which I know I've seen, but today watching it again brought it out to me. During Dig a Pony, I think it's Kevin Harrington is on his knees
He's
with
holding
the
the
lyric
notes.
sheet showing in front of John so John can follow the lyrics.
That is absolutely correct.
Did you
Kevin
also see Mr. Peter Brown in the background? Did you see
Harris.
him?
Absolutely, yeah. You see Yoko, Maureen's sitting next to Yoko, but you don't see her because she's on the opposite
Now,
side.
Yoko looked kind of
So
expressionless on the rooftop. She was probably cold.
she really looked expressionist throughout the whole thing. However, there are some moments, like I said earlier, that where she's like the way she looks at John,
You know,
she's
there's some shade. You know, she's and there's a couple of moments where she's rocking along to the beat. But up on the
exactly.
rooftop, that poor thing was freezing cold, I am sure. Well, John took her coat to wear.
Yeah, I am sure. So, you know, the cops, right? The
The
bobbies, what is
bobbies, the bobbies. You've got to
bobbies?
turn that sound down.
But it's not as dramatic, right, as
No.
the way Peter Jackson presented it. But it nonetheless, it's still good.
Well, let me tell you, after reading Ken Womack's book on Mal Evans, that was quite an ordeal. You're seeing the Hollywood effect, shall we call it, in Let It Be, where Mal is kind of playing peacemaker between the cops and the Beatles. But that situation got pretty tense
Yeah. Right. I mean,
down
not only
downstairs
that,
below.
right. Well, now Mel's also dealing with the instruments, right? He's, you know, he's
We
dealing
turned off
with
George's amp, and George turns it back on.
And then he's dealing with the cops.
Yes.
So yeah, that had to have been kind of a, you know, little
I know it
stressful.
looks great now, but I mean, after reading Womack, that was some ordeal. I mean, there was probably 15 bobbies in that stairwell getting ready to. You only see a couple, you know, and you see the guy walking in, blah, blah, blah. He's got the radio thing on his shoulder. He's getting ready to go through the door. And Mal, ever the diplomat, was trying to appease both parties,
Right.
you know,
Yeah.
and they just
Some of
about, they
the
just got away with
yeah.
it. And then,
Yeah,
of course,
some of
the
the
people talking in the streets.
Well, I was just gonna say was just gonna say, yeah, the people talking in the streets, the three girls, and then the one was just like fantastic, fabulous, you know.
I love the old guy
Absolutely.
saying, "Hey, it's good music."
They're crackers, right?
Well, not the one guy. Well,
Yeah.
it's good if it's in its own place, but out here in the middle of the day, it's not really appropriate.
Yeah. Right. No, you said they're cracking, right?
Yeah,
They're
right. Whatever. Yeah,
cracking.
yeah.
But yeah, and then the one guy goes, "Well, it's about time we get something free right about now." Yeah.
Right, and then the one guy in the car. Is that their new record? Great.
Yeah.
So that.
The guy going, "Hey, when the Beatles get back together?"
Oh, in the jungle. When are you Beatles getting back together? Those moments, though, with the people. I mean, just think about that. There's a people there. It's the 30th of January, 1969, and you're
Right.
walking in downtown London, and you're hearing the Beatles play. You're hearing the sound, and you're like, "What the hell is that?" It was one of my most famous, favorite parts of this watching this today
Right.
was that moment, hearing the echoes of the band in that high quality as the people are just walking down the
Right.
streets.
Well, and just seeing how it's interrupting, right? Because you got one lady, she goes, "Well, it's nice to it's kind of lightening up the office hours, you know. It's funny just to see how everybody's reacting. They're all outside, you know,
It's
trying to keep
London.
themselves
It's rainy
warm."
and gray all the
Right.
time. So how
Right.
about some live music? Come on.
There you go. I love it. I love it. I love it. But yeah, it's just like they're all in shock, you know. Yeah. But again, you know, you see so much more with the Get Back. You don't, you know, when we're watching these before, we don't know how much is out there. And then we get
Right.
spoiled with all this footage with the Get Back. You know, this is all, like we said, this is a completely different watching experience now.
Totally. From even after Get Back, you can't look at this the same way anymore. But I still say, I mean, the rooftop here was just phenomenal. It was
Right.
from, you know, it's just it was. I mean, to hear and the audio quality of it was
The
fantastic.
audio quality is fantastic. Now, you know, for people that love you know, keeping the integrity of the films, film preservation, you know, the beginning, you know, you got an Apple logo where it wasn't there before.
Right.
Okay. And
And the
then now we got all these credits at the end,
Those are
which means
2024 credits, which you didn't
right.
have.
Well, you had no, well, it said they had the 1970 credits and then it had the
The 2024
2024
credits afterwards, yeah.
credits, yeah, as
But
well. So I
it
mean,
wasn't the original credits in the same font and all that.
there was no, yeah, it was just the end, you know, filmed in
Right, yeah,
London.
the end filmed in London. Yeah, you're right, yeah.
It wasn't like before. It was, you know, credits back then weren't like they are now, where it's a 20 minutes worth of
Huh.
credits. A lot of
Yeah.
times you show all the credits at the beginning and at the end you say this is the end, and then maybe you show the cast again, and that's basically that's basically it. But yeah, now we got 20 minutes worth of credits.
We do. I will say too, I've always preferred that version of Dig a Pony that has that kind of opening and closing with the same
I love it.
refrain.
I'm glad you brought that up because again, and when I'm discovering Let It Be back in 87, I didn't know that existed because I never saw the film.
All you
Yeah.
had to go by was Let It
So,
Be.
right. I hadn't seen the film yet and I didn't have any bootlegs or anything like that. So then when I discovered that opening, All I Want Is You, man,
Right.
opens and
Doing it
closes it.
all I want is I yeah, that's and then you
Yeah,
close it
fine.
that way. Awesome. I wish that was the version that made it onto the finished album, but
Same here, buddy. Same here.
yeah.
But yeah, what is it what I got here? Yeah. Again, you look at it, Paul does kind of dominate this a little bit.
He does. I mean, you've got John with Across the Universe. Okay, dig it. George with For You Blue and I Me Mine. And then the rest, it's going to be, one after 909. Okay, that's they wrote that together. Fine.
Got Dig It, you got bits and pieces of across, you got Across the Universe, so John is there, but he's not as prominent as Paul.
I remember seeing, like, I remember finally seeing, like, on video for years, hearing, like, I Dig a Pygmy by Charles Hartree in the Decades, and seeing that. When you're able to
See
see that on video, you're like, okay, I get it now.
that and Queen Says No to Pot
Smoking
Smoking
it, Queen
FBI.
says no to pot smoking FBI agents. Boom, into yeah. Thing when you now that you, when you see it on screen, you're like, okay, I have a visual context clue now. Like, because they drop these little things in on the album, and you see them on the film now.
Soundtracks do that from time to time. They'll put a little some audio dialogue in a soundtrack in between songs.
Right, like at the end
So
of Dig It, I was Can You Dig It by Georgie Wood, and like, and then boom into Let It Be. But they dry so when you see those on film now, you're like, like, but you're so programmed as a fan when you listen to it that it's like, okay, next is Let It Be. And when you watch the film, you're like, no, it's just dialogue that they just plucked from and just dropped it into the record.
The clarity of the video for me, it's just top notch. I mean, you see just everything. You see everything now. Whether there's like a string, a piece of lint hanging off a shirt, or the pores on someone's face. I mean, it's everything is so clear here.
One scene that still didn't look that much cleaned up, I don't know if why they couldn't do it, was the little altercation between Paul and George. That still looked kind of eh. The I'll play whatever you want me to play bit.
Right. Maybe it's because it maybe the shot, maybe it's just the way it was shot,
Maybe
maybe
it's the angle.
the
That didn't
blurry.
look crystal clear. I'll play whatever you, that whole bit, but
Fair enough.
everything else looked crystal clear. And I had no buffer. I didn't have anything out of sync issues. I know some people were reporting watching on Disney Plus that sometimes things were out of sync with the music.
Yeah.
Didn't happen to me tonight. You?
No, I didn't have any issues whatsoever with
Okay.
the syncing of the audio.
Not at all, but a couple people reported that it did, including David.
Well, I can tell you a thing that's depending on how you're listening to it. I mean, I know when I have because I have my Bluetooth Bose headphones, okay?
Yeah.
I can that I'll watch sometimes. I'll hook it up to the TV, okay? And I know sometimes there'll be syncing issues with that, okay? However, I did it, but I didn't have any syncing issues whatsoever. So if David or other people had syncing issues, I don't know what to tell you because I
Let
didn't
us
have.
know. Let us know if you had any syncing issues the far because my thought was, okay, day one drop release. Everybody in the world's trying to watch this, and Disney's servers are just getting overloaded. And maybe that there was a little bit of a buffering issue.
That could have been. That could have been.
My only my it's my only it's my and my friend told me today, he goes, this is the problem I have with streaming. See, if they just released the damn thing as a physical product, I wouldn't have any of this shit.
Which then leads us to physical media. I
Yeah.
mean, will this see a physical release? I have to say yes.
Yes.
The fact that we got Get Back released, I do feel we will get this released on Blu-ray, 4K, whatever. Will it happen this year or next year? I'm hoping next year. But what it took what a year before we got Get Back?
I think this will come out sooner. I think this will come out sooner. I think you'll see a I think you could see a Christmas release for this.
Well, that'd be great. But like I said, I mean, Sony is now taking over Disney's DVD 4K Blu-ray distribution
Division, yeah.
division. So Sony will now be releasing stuff for Disney. So if it gets released, it'll get released through Sony. So I'm glad that that the option, the possibility is there to get this on Blu-ray, which I can't wait.
And that's a, yeah, buy it, get it, put it on the shelf, put it after Yellow Submarine. Boom, where it should be. Where it should have been for the last 20 years.
Yes, I concur, my friend. I
But we got
absolutely
it. We
concur.
got it. It's all good.
Why hasn't this been released for the last 40 years or so? Why do you think we haven't got this release after the initial VHS?
I think it was probably blocked by Paul for a long time. That's just a
And
guess.
that's funny if you say that because people think it's George, just because of the little spat.
George didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
George, I don't think George gave a shit. Put it out, don't put it out. I don't care. If it was gonna make him money, yeah, sure, put it out. I think it
Right.
was Paul. I think Paul is so super aware of how he's perceived. And he's
Right.
so emotional with how he's perceived in the media that throughout varying points of his career, Let It Be Naked comes out. Oh, we're going to get the film coming out. And then George had only died 2 years prior. So maybe he was like, ah, I don't want to do this now. And he just maybe got, I think it was probably largely Paul. I don't think it wasn't the Lennon camp. It could have been Paul or Ringo. And Ringo still doesn't like it. He said in a press
No,
release, oh, it's still not a
true,
happy film.
true. Which I d disagree. Disagree 100%. The funny thing is, because then you're watching the Get Back docuseries, right? And when they are having like some kind of row, it's a nice calm conversation.
Right.
They're not throwing chairs at each other, and obviously
Christ, even
Rose
when
is
George
there.
walks out, he just says, "See ya."
Yeah, see you at the clubs.
Right, there's no big row. That
Yeah,
we know of, that we know of.
that's filmed. That's filmed,
Right.
so even with these little rows, I mean it's not a
Like
like
I
a
know I'm sure, like
contract
when
thing.
Ringo came knocking on Cavendish Avenue to hold the release of
Yeah.
McCartney, that was not a pleasant experience.
No. Not for Ringo.
No, so there probably were moments where they were like, "Hey, buddy."
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Bafangu.
Right, but you're not going to see that on
Anyway.
film, especially, and they knew they were being filmed too, and a lot of these call times too was in the morning, so they weren't
Right.
even awake. And
Right.
John said that he goes, we were being dragged to the studio, to
Yeah.
you could to film and play music at 8 o'clock in the morning. He goes, we couldn't do
Yeah.
it,
Nobody can make music at 8
and he
o'clock.
was out of his mind at that time. I mean, admittedly, he was.
Well, yes and no. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't the ideal time for John to be recording music.
No, so when you
But
watch, when he's
later,
looking checked out, it's because he is. But then when he's motivated to play, he's laughing, he's jamming, he's having a good time singing Two of Us and doing his thing. So,
Right.
all good
I
stuff.
agree.
We have it now, and glorious restoration 4K cleanup. Thank you.
There you go. It's here. Let us know your thoughts in the comment section. Do you like it? Are you glad it's here? Do you wish it never came out? Tell us, please.
Let us know. Thomas,
Yeah.
what is up for Talk More Talk coming up? I could probably guess, but you've got a show coming up on Monday, don't you?
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you for taking over for Ken's spot 2 weeks ago for our look at Ringo's latest EP. Thank you for that. That was a lot of fun, a lot of good comments on that. So it was great having you there. I'm glad that you were excited about this release because we all know that you weren't, very keen on
Couple.
the last few EPs,
No.
So so again, thank you for that. And then well, Monday night we're going to be talking about what we just talked about, but we are going to have with us the original co-host, Ken Womack, with us.
All right.
So it's going to be five of us on there. All the co-hosts are going to be there. It's going to be a great time. Obviously, we can talk a little Mal since Womack will be there as well. We can talk about a little bit about what we just talked about, with Mal being on the roof to dealing with the cops
Yeah.
and dealing with the band. So I'm sure that will get discussed at some point Monday night. So yeah, Monday night we're going to be talking about same thing we just talked about here.
Let it be. Cool. On my own channel, I did a video very recently with the former co-host of Two Legs, Tom's cousin, David Gargolino, and we did a very deep dive into the Moody Blues and a little bit of ELO. And that went up on my channel last weekend, and that was really fun. We always enjoy some semi rabbit hole dives into some other music for a little while, and that was great to do with David. That's up on my channel as well. And more to come in the month of May with a couple of John Anderson concerts in May and June.
So he's gonna play at a few different places in Jersey, right? And you're probably gonna go to all 50
Going to
places
two,
there.
May 30th and
Okay.
June, May 30th and June 1st.
Okay, so and then how many times have you gonna have you seen? Is there a meet and greet?
No meet and greets. That's after COVID, nobody really does that anymore, sadly. I've checked, but there's no meet and greets for this tour, which is a shame. But
Okay.
some more, but he'll be great. He's doing, with the band geeks, and it's basically Yes, and they sound awesome.
Cool. Is he gonna? Do we know what he's doing? Is he celebrating any anniversaries of anything like that, or is he just doing just a tour? Just one
It's just
tour.
a tour. He is 80 this year, so but there is no, I don't think there's any kind of album tie-in. They haven't really announced it yet. There's no idea what the set list is, so they could be doing a anniversary of either Tales from Topographic Oceans or Relayer, which is 50 years old this year. I don't know, because the first time I go, when I go to see him on the 30th, that's the opening night of the tour, so it'll be a surprise. So we won't know.
One of the things I want people in the comment section to answer this question, if you don't mind, how do you feel about these now near into 80-year-old musicians still going out there and touring, whether or not they still sound great? Because some of them still sound fantastic. And
Hell
I'm not saying,
yes.
but how do you guys feel out there? Do you with these legacy acts, I guess, if you want to call them that, still going out there and performing? I mean, are you guys like Andy? I mean, and listen, I'm gonna do my best to see ELO in October. I have yet to see ELO, so I'm really looking forward to it. But he's pretty much calling it after this, right? He's pretty much not gonna do any more live shows, I guess, after this tour. But how do you feel about these near 80 or 80 plus year olds going out and still touring? I mean, do you think it's a good thing? Do you think they should stop, just concentrate on new music? I know we talked about this with Paul. Maybe he should stop touring and then just focus on new music. What do you
Albums,
guys
yeah.
think about that? So what do you guys think about that? Let us know in the comment section.
Yeah, let us know in the comments, and we'll have more on that to come later this month. I told you we will have Luca Parazzi, and we're also going to get together with the Liverani duo between Tom and James and Joe Montaneo and talk about Memory Almost Full and the show we all went to in 2007 and Luca Parazzi.
I'm looking forward to hearing what your guys' experience for this Memory Almost Full secret gig. Because
Oh.
he did a few of them. He did a few of those.
He did.
And I tell you, man, that House of Wax performance, oh man.
Phenomenal. And I got to see it live too, right in
Yes,
front of me.
you
Played it
did.
right in front of me.
Anyways, take us home, buddy.
That'll do it for episode 246. For my partner Tom, I'm Andy, and we'll see you next time. Have a good one.
Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.